Okay, welcome back. And now to a conversation about health and healing that looks at a wide range of possibilities rather than conventional medicine care's reliance on pharmaceuticals and surgery. Mark Darrow, MD, is a board-certified physiatrist, and we'll talk about what that word means, specializing in physical medicine and rehabilitation. He's an assistant clinical professor at the University of California at UCLA School of Medicine. He emphasizes prolotherapy in his practice, and he teaches prolotherapy at UCLA. We'll also go into what prolotherapy is. He's the author of several books, including The Knee Source Book and Prolotherapy Living Pain-Free. His self-titled radio show can be heard on KRLA 870 AM in Southern California. Welcome, Mark Darrow.
It's a real pleasure to be on your show with you.
Very good. Thank you. Now, as I said, your specialty is physiatry. And as I said in the intro at the top of the show, I suspect when most folks think of healthcare, medicine, they think of disease, treating disease. But for me, and I would think for a lot of people nowadays, the real health issues that really are obstructions and problems in our day-to-day life are seldom about disease per se, but much more about physical pain, joint or muscle problems, and so on, the things that slow us down. Much of your practice deals with just such issues. What is physiatry, and how did you choose such a practice?
Well, you know, I could go on for about 5 days on just what you said right there. Interesting, Terry. First of all, physiatry has to do with the physiology of the body, and what we do is we restructure the body. I was trained in physiatry after I had done much orthopedic surgery, where I did not find very good success rates with the surgeries, so I switched horses in the middle of the stream, and I wanted to do something that I thought was more beneficial for people. And what we're able to do, and it is considered, unfortunately, alternative or in, you know, some type of a different type of medicine than what is traditional. It's unfortunate thought of like that because the healing process gets to about 80 or 90% of people feeling a lot better and growing back tissue. So physiatry is something that is very unusual in terms of the board certification in that we actually learn how to restructure the body rather than cut things out of it. And we're finding so many surgeries right now, so many studies on surgeries show that they are not effectual. There was a study that came out recently in September in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Right. And let me just read a quote from it. I saw the Time magazine article, but the study was in the New England Journal of Medicine. Quote, one of the most commonly used surgical procedures aimed at easing the pain of arthritis in the knee works no better than non-invasive therapy or drugs.
And the study went on, and the article went on in the New York Times on September 10th to talk about other doctors saying that why don't we doctors get it? Why don't we get that these surgeries don't work? There was also a sham operation study that was done at the Veterans Administration back in 2002.
Oh, right. That's a very fascinating one.
And in that one, they did a fake surgery on knees, and they found out the fake surgery did as well as the real surgery. So what's the point? And
now, let me ask a question. I remember reading that study. Giving someone a placebo pill, a sugar pill, instead of, a potent pharmaceutical is one thing. But with these people, they actually did do some cutting or some...
Well, they cut the skin.
That's enough that the person, when they woke up, thought they'd had surgery.
Absolutely. They didn't know which group they were in.
But it's interesting. I mean, if I'm a patient and I'm put through anesthesia and my skin is cut and then I find out nothing happened, but what the results were... Was it the results were basically the same?
Absolutely the same. And the point of all of this is, why get a surgery, an orthopedic procedure, an elective, I should say, orthopedic procedure, not an emergency situation,
yeah,
but elective. You know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of these done every day around the country. And unfortunately, there's a study done, or fortunately it was done actually, showing the unfortunate situation that the number of back surgeries is directly proportional to the number of back surgeons in your area. Other countries don't do back surgery. If someone has back pain, they send them home and say, don't worry about it, it's going to get better. And most people do get better without going to a surgeon.
Now, let me see. Are you talking about things like just back pain? But there are things like herniated discs and those sorts of things,
well,
that are real, aren't they?
What I see in my clinic every day, Terry, are herniated discs. And how do I see him? I see him on MRI. When I touch the body, which is my diagnostic, it's the way my grandfather taught me, who was a medical doctor. Use your hands. Use your eyes. Listen to the patient.
Right.
Most of all, listen to the patient. Don't diagnose by films.
Because
more than half the people walking around, people you talk to that have zero pain, if you look at an MRI, you're going to find some disc problems. What does that tell you? Same thing in the knees.
I remember at one point I was having I did dislocate a shoulder. And so they did a, you know, an ultrasound or a something of that shoulder. But for comparison purposes, they did the other shoulder as well so I could see the difference.
Sure.
Well, there was no difference because I had the same evidence of injury in both of them, only I only knew one of them.
Even better, what I see is people coming in with quote, herniated discs, pain down their right leg, and then you look at the MRI and it shows an impingement of the nerve on the left side and nothing on the right side. So we have to be very, very careful in our choice of patients when we do procedures.
Right. Are we treating a body that has shown us certain things on x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, and so on, or are we treating a human being?
Well, that's the point. And the point really is if someone is going to do a surgery at all, they ought to really take something like an MMPI psychological test first to see if they're the type of person that can heal. Because if they're a person that somaticizes their pain from their emotions into the body, they're not going to heal no matter how many surgeries they have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. It works both ways. In other words, it isn't just, it's that the mind, that sort of thing, can keep you from healing as much as the mind can help you to heal.
Absolutely.
I'm someone who's had four knee surgeries, and I think some were exactly the kind that you were talking about. And to tell people what prolotherapy is, because to me, the notion behind prolotherapy makes so much sense.
Well, it does, because all we're doing with prolotherapy, which is proliferation therapy, which means stimulation of new tissue, is we are naturally stimulating the body. And I harp on that word. It's natural. This is not a process where we're going in and cutting out tissue. It's a natural procedure where we can actually stimulate the body to reproduce and add and augment more tissue to an injured area or a worn-out area, anywhere from the top of the head with headaches, down the neck, down the back, the shoulders, all the joints, you know, the knees and the ankles, and the feet down to the bottom of the feet, plantar fasciitis. All we're really doing is growing more collagen, or if it's inside the joint, what we're doing is we're just stimulating more cartilage growth. So it's a very fascinating concept to use nature as the healing tool.
Right. Well, I've had you on years ago and have read your book, and one of the things that really struck me was you said that because we like to get up on our feet so quickly, we like to get back to work, we like to get back to running, we depend on anti-inflammatories and so on to actually short-circuit the healing process, and that most of our chronic pain in joints and so on is because an injury didn't completely heal.
That's so true, and the conundrum of healing with musculoskeletal issues is that we want to feel good too fast. And when we want to feel good too fast, or if a doctor wants to kick us out of his office because he doesn't have time, he's going to give us anti-inflammatories. But who doesn't, Terry, have anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen and aspirin sitting in their medicine?
Oh, absolutely.
So what's the process? The body heals naturally by inflammation, the
right.
Exact opposite of what we think. Now, when I lecture to doctors or to hospitals, I always play a little joke on them. And I say, please raise your hands if you think inflammation is good for healing. Usually one person will raise their hand who's probably the stellar student in medical school, and they'll say, yes, inflammation is actually how the body heals. It's in every physiology book. And that's how prolotherapy works. We set up a very short inflammatory cycle, enough to kick in a new inflammation, because when we're injured, or even people that have overuse syndromes, like on computers, when they're getting carpal tunnel syndrome or other things where their arm feels like it's just worn out. We need to inflame that area again and give the body a second chance to heal. And the immune system then upregulates and brings cells to the area called fibroblasts, which grow collagen, or inside the joints, chondroblasts, which actually can grow new cartilage on the articular surface of the joints. So it's a conundrum in that it sounds backwards, but it's a magical process in that it heals about 80-90% of people.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you say it sounds backwards, I think it's only because we have so many so much of a perspective, so much of a point of view that we don't even know. It's like fish in water. We don't even know that's our point of view because actually, as I said, once it was explained to me, it made so much sense that, of course, the body healed for millions of years before we had anti-inflammatories or before we did surgery.
Well, that's a whole other show because what we consider pain today is not necessarily what other people considered pain in the past. There's so many overlying symptoms that come in emotionally where people turn their emotions into pain because guess what? I don't want to let anyone know I have emotional issues. So what do? And I do this, honestly, and so does everybody else I know. They take their emotional issues and they shut up about them. They go into denial and all of a sudden they have pain in their body.
Right.
What's that about?
Right. I believe in evidence-based medicine. Actually, I believe in evidence-based politics, evidence-based everything. But I have had success with prolotherapy. I also had carpal tunnel syndrome, for which I had surgery on both wrists and never had a symptom from the moment I had surgery. So it's not a black and white thing. Surgery is not bad.
Well, there's a question in that, the way you paused. And
I'm asking what your take on that is.
It from a clinician's point of view, and I've been practicing medicine a long time, you know, I've seen thousands and thousands of patients who have had surgeries and patients who refuse to have surgeries. And you're right, there is a place for surgery. There's a place for everything. And the point of view that I have is don't do the surgery unless you absolutely have to. With your carpal tunnel syndrome, I know you wrestled with that.
Yeah, I tried other things and then finally, found a very good hand surgeon and tried it, and I was amazed.
Yeah.
And yet, as I said, I've had four knee surgeries, and my knees are swollen and painful every day.
Well, it's the difference between getting a carpal tunnel surgery and getting a knee surgery.
Exactly.
I would never recommend a knee surgery or any joint surgery.
Unless it was an emergency surgery for some sort of a wound, yeah.
Was crushed or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, exactly. There are. But for things like chronic pain, torn cartilage, torn ligaments, and those sorts of things, you feel that in almost every case you're going to be better off treating it with the body's healing?
Well, the natural healing of the body is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Why do something that is so invasive, that is fraught? I mean, if you saw the things that I see with surgery when I used to practice, by the way, I was never a, quote, orthopedic surgeon.
Oh.
It was in my training.
Ah, I see.
And
okay.
Then I
you participated in the surgeries and then left that training track.
Because,
thank you for the clarification.
I saw people die on the table. I saw people, I mean, I'm not making that up. You know, just from anesthesia.
Well, I know. That's why when you talked about the experiment where someone goes under anesthesia to have dummy surgery, I thought, wow, I wouldn't want to be in that clinical trial.
Well, yeah, and I had a patient who came in, a young woman in her early 30s, who had a herniated disc, leg pain, went in for anesthesia, you know, before his surgery, had a heart attack on the table.
Sure.
And woke up and never had back pain again without the surgery. Now, you mentioned the word placebo. What is placebo? Placebo is the greatest healer on the planet. We know from evidence-based medicine that about 40% of placebos heal, meaning 40% of the time people heal from placebos. Sometimes that can be a doctor putting his hand on your shoulder and just saying, don't worry about this. It's not going to really hurt you.
Well, let me say, I've had him on the show. Dr. Howard Brody wrote a book called The Placebo Response, in which he was originally poo-poo, as you're taught in medical school, sort of, that placebo is a trick, you know, that you use to run scientific experiments. But he finally saw it was so efficacious that his book basically tells other doctors how you can best instigate the placebo response. You know, how is it that you relate to the patient to most likely get the benefit of the placebo response, which, as you say, and as Andy Weil says, is the most surefire healer there is.
It is. And I listened to your show with Andy Weil, and what a great show that was.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about the placebo effect, and it is the greatest thing going. And part of that, for the way I practice, Terry, is very simple. As soon as a patient comes in the door and they're in doom and gloom, the first thing I do is light up their consciousness.
Yeah.
I think it's the most important thing a doctor can do, and part of that is spending a lot of time with the patient.
Yeah, one of the things I've learned is that many of the best comprehensive doctors started out as psychiatrists, because psychiatrists are allowed to take the time to listen to a patient.
Well, you know, I used to, when I was a lawyer many years ago, I represented Norman Cousins. Do you remember who?
Wow, sure.
And when I got accepted to medical school, I called him up and I said, Norman, I need to talk to you. I just got accepted to medical school, and I don't know what to do. So he was over at UCLA at the time. I was across the street, and I ran over to his office, and he was slamming his fist on the table. He's going, God damn it, Mark, you listen to your patients. He says, you're not going to make money from it, but you're going to help heal your patients. And I think that's one of the most important things we can do as doctors, is take patients to what I call a healing consciousness, letting them know that they really live in, and I don't want to make up a woo-woo thing here, but live in a spiritual part of themselves if they want to, which has all the placebo effect you can want, all of the healing you can want. It's already present, and it's just taking your consciousness to a place where you actually can actualize that and start the healing yourself, because the body heals itself.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah. Let's take a couple of phone calls.
Sure.
This is Mark Darrow, MD, a holistic physician, a physiatrist. If you've been hearing the conversation, you know what we're kind of talking about. Let me have Sherry from Mission Viejo.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say that I did have prolotherapy for my neck and for my back, and I'm much better and I'm pain-free. I just wanted to say that because it helped me a lot.
Well, God bless you, because that's an important thing to let people know there is something like this that can save people from surgery.
Yeah, and let me just remind people, if they didn't hear the first part, what prolotherapy is you inject benign substances into the point of the pain, and you trick the body, that benign substance tricks the body into, ooh, invasion, something, got to do something about it, and the body then acts as if the injury has just happened, rushes some swelling, some collagen, some cartilage, etc., the connective tissue, and can often give you the strength that will relieve the pain that you were feeling. Thank you very much, Sherry. Let me have Steve from Fullerton.
You know, an interesting show, and I've listened to this a little bit, a couple of times on different occasions. I'm wondering, with arthritis, I know my mother-in-law is having trouble with it in her feet, maybe. She's got other places. She got swelling in her ankles and whatnot. And they're trying to figure out what the heck's going on. They're thinking maybe it's her kidneys are having trouble and that she's not getting rid of water and all that. But I'm wondering, as far as arthritis goes, there's different kinds of it. And can this kind of therapy work in those areas? Because it sounds like, in some sense, that's kind of already a, quote, inflammation problem, if it's actually a problem.
Are you asking about the edema in her legs, the swelling? Or
well,
about the arthritis?
The pain.
That part. Yeah, it's painful, and it's swelling down in her ankles, and, you know, they're trying to figure out exactly what the heck it is.
Well, Steve, the first thing for your mom, or mother-in-law, is to think about detoxing her body. Maybe you're getting on a anti-candida situation where we can get rid of a lot of the toxins in the body, maybe a liver cleanse or something like that, and then getting the heart stronger. She may actually need some testosterone for that.
That's interesting.
Because
she's on a lot of different medications. She's got
I don't like those medications.
You'll notice neither one of those was a medication.
Yeah.
To strengthen the heart, though, the heart's a great muscle, you know, if you think about it. Testosterone in a low dose for a woman is one of the best things to do with that. And there's a lot of different things that could help your mother-in-law.
Okay. And if you want to learn more after the show, you can go to drdarrow.com, DrDarrow, drdarrow.com, and
you can ask questions on the website.
You can ask questions on the website. Excellent. So questions that you don't get answered here, you can ask on the website. And the same counsel is offered on the website is here, that this is one doesn't do medical diagnosis over the phone or on a website, but you can get advice. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Yeah.
Let me bring in Merrick from Northridge. You have a question for Dr. Darrow?
Yes, I do. Thank you for your show. Dr. Darrow.
Yes, sir.
If you go from the premise that inflammation is the beginning of the healing process, what about certain kinds of inflammation that occur that could be the precursor to degrading of certain parts of your body where you actually have a dis-ease? Let's say, for instance, in the prostate where you have an inflammation, and it could be the precursor to certain problems. Now, they have like certain remedies, natural remedies like Zyflamin, for instance, that are anti-inflammatory, but they're natural. They have rosemary, they have oregano in them.
Merrick, you've hit on a wonderful point. Inflammation is the base root of all disease, okay? The kind of inflammation we're talking about is in the musculoskeletal system that is just a very short course. It's not a gradient of inflammation that the body is in, which could be from many different sources. It can be inflammatory from infection. A lot of people have low-grade infections, something in the teeth, you know, from root canals, things like that. It can also be from a high arachidonic acid to omega-3 ratio, which our country is the highest in the world. We are the most inflamed country in the world, setting us up for all types of chronic diseases. All of those things can be taken care of, though, and they have to be done by way of finding out what is actually going on individually with that person. So you're right on target, and there are things that can be done to help your prostate and any other part of the body. Now, believe it or not, heart disease is inflammatory also. Diabetes is inflammatory. Cancer is inflammatory.
Saying that, and arachidonic acid is also, is that not reversed by certain levels of testosterone therapy?
It can be, yes. And people shy away from testosterone generally just with a concept that is not really true. It's old wives' tales. Take testosterone, you get prostate cancer. It's untrue. The reverse is true. People with low testosterone, men with low testosterone, have higher incidence of prostate cancer. And in my practice, I give people with a high PSA a small dose of testosterone. It brings their PSA right down to normal very often.
Mm-hmm. Do you use the creams for that?
It depends on the hormones that a person has and the amount of enzymes that break these down into metabolic patterns.
Okay, I think that's all the time we have for calls.
Yeah, that gets kind of confusing. Merrick, just go to the website if you can. And I'll be glad to contact you directly.
Okay, so the website is drdarrow.com. For somebody who, if there's a phone number they needed, what would that be?
The easiest phone number is 1-800-REHAB-10. So it's 1-800-REHAB-10.
Oh, okay. 1-800-REHAB-10.
You've hit on some very good points.
Thank you, Mark Darrow. Keep up the good work.